Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. I'm continuing in a series of talks I've been giving on Sri Vishnu Sahasranama. Name 930 is Jivana, so you can all understand basically what this means. Some of the names, you won't get the meaning just by hearing them, just like the next name we have is Paryavastita, Paryavastita. It's not, you can't understand just by hearing it, unless maybe you're a Sanskrit scholar, or you're acquainted with Vishnu Sahasranam. But Jivana, everyone who knows an Indian language, which includes all of you among about 1.5 billion others, can understand what Jivan means. Jivana. Jiva means life. So Krishna, Vishnu, is life. He's the life giver. He gives life. He sustains life. Life, we take it for granted, but it's a mysterious phenomenon for those who don't know Bhagavad Gita. So much so that the people who want to see everything through the eyes of materialistic science, they have a very hard time explaining it. They usually, they say that its life comes into being due to a random combination of chemicals. And they just leave it at that. Because actually they can't explain that. What is life? They can't say. They say, well, life is, that's what happens when you're alive. It doesn't really explain it. And what is the difference between a living body and a dead body? When the heartbeat stops, the ECG goes flat, the breathing stops, but what is life? Only recently, in the last, maybe just maximum 30 years, consciousness studies has been admitted as a serious study within science. Consciousness is, of course, the distinguishing feature of life, distinguishing it from non-life. But even in consciousness studies, there are so many different theories as to the nature of consciousness, because the scientists are religiously sticking to the idea that consciousness must be due to a combination of chemicals under certain conditions. But they have no evidence of that, and not even anything close to any evidence of it. The big thing in psychology at the moment, and consciousness studies, is neuroscience, because they can relate various emotions and ways that, left brain, left and right brain. So they can relate various emotions to various activities within certain parts of the brain. But that still doesn't explain what is consciousness. It's called the hard question in psychology. It means we can explain to some extent people's motivations and their worldviews, but what their thoughts, psychology is studying the thoughts, but what is that experience and who or what is experiencing it? This is called the hard question in psychology. It's not very hard, actually, if we just understand that it's the spirit soul which is distinct from matter. But the scientists, they're dogmatic that it must be something material. We must be able to combine some chemicals, and then we can understand what is life and consciousness. But they can't. Ascharyavat Pashyati. What is that verse? No, I forgot. So it's something strange. Something strange to the materialists. Something wonderful. They can't understand it. Because they're locked in a materialistic mindset. But if we just accept the simple teachings of Bhagavad Gita, that life is a phenomenon different from that of matter, and the life of all that lives is Krishna, the center of everything. But the materialistic scientists won't accept it because they're materialistic scientists. Dogmatic. So Krishna gives life. How is that he gives life, if life is eternal? For the soul there is never birth nor death. Here we have a big shloka wala here. For the soul there is never birth nor death. You know, learned all the Sanskrit, but not the meanings. Now, jayate, mriyate, vagate, nayang, bhutva, doesn't come into bhavita, vana, bhaya, doesn't come into being. So how can we say that Krishna gives life when we're eternal? How about that? Got you stumped there. Well, Krishna gives life in the sense that for sustaining life in the material body, we require food, water, air, minimally. And then we also need light. We can live within a certain temperature range. Sometimes in this part of the world it goes above the temperature range in which we can live. People die in the heat. And in some places it goes below and people die in the cold. So there are certain conditions in which we can live, and that is given by Krishna. He gives us the food. I was just having a look through a book by one book he came here recently, Swayam Bhagavan Keshav Maharaj, in which he was talking about offering food, and he said the whole act can be devotional from the point of purchasing the food, which just shows he's a product of the modern cities, because you take the food from the garden or from the field, you grow the food, but we can't grow the food without the help of the demigods who are serving under Krishna. What's that verse? Anad bhavanti bhutani parjanyad anasambhavaha. So we need rain. We need heat, we need light, we need proper land. You can't grow much anna in this part of the world. It's very difficult to grow anything here. Maybe dates in some places, in some parts, even that not everywhere. Mostly, what can grow here? Hardly anything. That's why it's called a desert. Deserted. So Krishna provides the facility by which we can sustain these bodies. We should always remember that. In the Christian tradition in which I was raised, I don't know if they still do this, maybe some people do, but we would say, it's called saying grace before meals. It means you say, you know that? Yeah? You're nodding your head? Do you come from a Christian background? No, but you went to a Christian school maybe. No, but you happen to know about it. Grace means mercy. So you say, I can't remember what it is. We used to say it in English. Yeah, you say a prayer. Dear God, thanks for giving us this food, these nice beefsteaks and sausages. bit of a misconception there. But the idea, but that's true. That also anadbhavanti bhutani. The animals, they are, the vegetables are needed, the grass is needed for the animals to live. So we're all dependent ultimately on Krishna to sustain the body in which we live. So he gives life also in as much as we are put in different bodies according to our karma. Very complex. What exactly did I do to get this body with certain physical construction, a certain lifespan, a certain energy level, certain mentality that goes with it, to be born in a certain family? It's all very, very complex, because at every moment we're doing something, right? Bhagavad Gita, nahi kaschit kshanamapi jatu tishtatya karma krit. At every moment we're doing something, and in human life everything we do makes a reaction. Everything we do. Coughing, even if you just cough like that, you did something, and everything we do has a reaction, unless we're in Krishna's service. Otherwise we get a karmic reaction. Everything we do has some effect. So it's very, very complex. And not only what we do, everything we see, hear, touch, taste, smell makes an impression in the mind, sangskar. Everything we think about, imagine, if we think, I want to kill that person, and we may not do it, please don't do it. Don't do things like that. But just the very thought makes a sangskar. So maybe we will do it at some point in time, because from contemplation comes action. It may not be in this life, it may be in a future life. So it's all very, very complex. Krishna gives us a situation exactly, especially in Bharatavarsha, that's stated in the fifth canto of Bhagavatam, that people are born exactly according to their karmic situation. If you're born as a dog or a frog or whatever, there are not too many frogs around here, I guess, or dogs, or anything. Maybe there are some worms that live in oil. I don't think so. If so, there'd be many of them. But if we're born in some lower species, we're just living out some phase of our karmic reactions. But in human life, that's also going on. But we're also placed in a situation, a particular human situation, exactly as required and desired according to our previous activities and desires. And we don't even know what they are. Sometimes people go to astrologers to try to find out. But even an astrologer can only give little insight. Sometimes people are anxious to know what they were in their previous life. It may be someone has some bad period they're going through, or they have some pitri dosha, kala sarpa dosha. It's due to, well, you got a certain father for a certain reason, and you may have a certain kind of karma, but exactly how that came into being, exactly how it's going to play out, it's very, very complex. Krishna knows. Krishna is the cosmic supercomputer who has a record of everything. Everything. And puts us exactly in the situation we require to live out our desires that may not be exactly as we... The way we live out our desires may not be exactly according to our desire. I'll explain that. Just like in a democracy, India is the world's largest democracy. Jai Hind. So many people want to get the post of Prime Minister. Now already they're in America, they're already lining up for the post of President. It's more than 1 year till they vote again. But they're already jostling for position. Many people desire that position, but many people don't even come near to getting in the race for the position, although they would desire it. And of the votes who get in the race, it eventually boils down to two and then one. So most people end up frustrated. Many want to be the top boss, but not everyone can get it in this life. But in a future life, you've seen in India the dogs run in the streets at night, and in a pack of dogs there'll be one top dog. So he's getting his desire fulfilled, but not in exactly the way he desired. He didn't have the punya to become the president of America, so he became a dog running around the streets in Dehradun or somewhere else. So it's very, very complex. But people who are more intelligent understand that we can't work it all out with our intelligence, and understand there is the higher power, who is Krishna. And Krishna puts us in different situations. He gives life. He sustains life. He gives life exactly as we require it. And giving life, it means that he also arranges for our protection. He is the ultimate protector, but he does it through various agents. The parents protect the children. It's a very strong impulse. You'll see even the dog and the cat, the mother is committed to sustain the life of the child, protect the child. In humans also, but ultimately that protection facility. Just two names ago we had the name Rakshana. Means protector. So that impulse comes from Krishna, and ultimately Krishna can protect. Ultimately the parents can protect. Just like now in Palestine, there are so many parents who are very anxious about their children, but there are powers stronger than them. If a missile comes, then it's the parents can't protect. Balasyaneha sharanang. What is that? Balasyaneha sharanang pitaro nrsinghaha. The Prahlad Maharaj, who was not only not protected by his father, but was attacked by his father, says that ultimately the parents can't protect. Ultimately it's Krishna who protects. And as the Acharyas and the Vaishnavas have analyzed in regard to this name Jivana, that all the acts of Bhagavan in relation to this material world, which is a very dangerous place, is the place of bhayam. Bhayam dvitiya bhinivesha syat ishadapetyasya viparya smritihi. It's a place full of fear. All the acts of Bhagavan, particularly in respect to the jivas in this material world, are directed toward protection of the jivas. Even when he destroys, who is the destroyer? We all know. Mahadev. Recently we went to Ujjain, means the place of Mahakal. Mahakal means the great destroyer. Kala is the destroyer of everything in this world. But ultimately the destroyer is Krishna, Vishnu, because when all the universe are destroyed, they enter into his body. That's the biggest pralaya. There are different kinds of pralaya. When does pralaya take place? At the end of a kalpa. At the end of a kalpa, which is? But what is a kalpa?
1 day of Brahma.
Yeah, 1,000 cycle of ages. Well, a pralaya is going on right now.
Nitya pralaya.
At every moment, our bodies are deteriorating. At every moment, there is destruction. But the ultimate destruction is when all the universes enter in the body of Bhagavan, and then all the jivas get some rest from their madness of jumping up and down from one species to another. But he does that, it's just like you get some rest. The companies work, the employees very hard, but they have to give some time for rest so they can recuperate, so they can go back and work. In the traditional system, they don't follow that now. The women used to get 3-4 days rest every month, but nowadays they don't follow. But they used to. They think it's they've said that, oh, this is not good. It's not, you see, why are you depriving them? But that's because they want you to work. But it's by the arrangement of nature, they're supposed to have some rest. So Krishna gives a little time for rest. He arranges for them to rest so they can come back. He protects them within his own body and gives them new life in the next cycle of creation. Even death, that's that we all have that pralayam, that destruction of the body means death. But that is meant for giving life. Death means life. The people who don't know the science of reincarnation, they don't know that death means one body is worn out, we pass to a new body. Vasangsi jirnani yathavihaya navani grihnati naroparani tatashirani vihaya jirnani anyani sangyati navani dehi. Very simple analogy that Krishna gives. Just when your clothes are worn out, you change them and get fresh clothes. When the body is worn out, by the arrangement of nature, we get a new body. Arrangement of nature means Krishna's arrangement. So Bhagavan is giving life. He is jivana. In his acts, not only of creation, but in protection and even in destruction. Now, Parashara Bhatta, the first Sri Vaishnava commentator on Vishnu Sahasranam, in this name and the many names previous to this, he has been commenting in relation to Bhagavan's killing of the crocodile and thus protecting Gajendra. And Baladev Vidyabhushan in this series of names also follows Parashara Bhatta. So Jivana, he gave life. He took life from the crocodile. But actually, he gave life by restoring the crocodile. Because it wasn't only Gajendra who was cursed to be in the body of an elephant, but the crocodile, who had been a leading Gandharva, was restored to his life. He had been cursed to become a crocodile, but he was restored to his life as the Gandharva by the name of Huhu. So that is stated in the Purana. Sahi devala sharpena hu hur gandharva satamaha grahatvam agamat krishnadvadhang prapya devangataha. Hu hu, the best of the Gandharvas, became a crocodile by the curse of the sage Devala. After being killed by Krishna, he has now gone to the heavenly planet. So superficially he slew the crocodile, but actually he restored him to his previous life as a Gandharva. Sometimes people who want to criticize the Vedic culture and philosophy and religion, they say your God, he's always going around killing people. Our Jesus is the Lord of peace. Whew. I wish the Christians would actually follow that. They say Jesus is peaceful, but we're making up for him by not being peaceful. But they should know that. We can ask them. You say, Krishna kills, right? You're criticizing Krishna for that. Yes, he's very bad. So you accept that he kills? Yes. How do you know he kills? Well, it's in your scriptures. Well, in the scriptures it also says that he gives a better life to those he kills. So why don't you accept that also? Just like you say that, well, Krishna is immoral, he dances with so many gopis. So you accept that? Why? You accept it says in your own scripture, it says that Krishna expanded himself into as many forms as there are gopis, which shows he's not an ordinary person. He lifted a hill as a young boy. He lifted and held a hill. Why don't you accept that also? In the same scriptures, they establish Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So if you accept the scriptures which say that Krishna kills the Rakshasas, then why don't you accept all the other descriptions also? Huh? Checkmate. Talking about Christians, we're talking about life, jivana. Maybe you've heard they talk about being born again. Have you been born again? That means that when you become a Christian, they say, born again. Washed in the blood of Jesus. I used to hear that when I was a child. I thought, that sounds rather grotesque to be bathed in the blood of Jesus. Well, we can say the same thing. Coming to Krishna consciousness is like being born again. What do you think? Some of you have been raised from childhood in Krishna consciousness, but most of us, we couldn't imagine. A few years ago, most of us, if we were told that, well, shortly you'll be rising early, chanting Hare Krishna, not eating some of the things that you're accustomed to eat now, I won't mention. Probably most of us here were eating things which we regret now. And basically our life was just money, try to be happy in this world, and maybe do a little puja at home. Maybe. Sometimes. But we couldn't imagine. It's being born again. Coming to Krishna consciousness is new life. So Krishna gives life to us. Another way he gives life is that he gives prana. There's another name coming up in Vishnu Sahasranam. This name Jivana comes up in the 10th century. That means in the 10th series of 100 names. And even after this comes another name, Prana Jivana. So prana is also called life. But prana means the air of life. If there's prana in the body, then it remains alive. Even yogis can keep the body alive without food, without air. Srila Prabhupada suggested this idea of the resurrection of Jesus. He said that a yogi can sustain life. They know how to sustain life, even without air, food, anything. But they know how to sustain the prana. So Srila Prabhupada suggested that he never died anyway, as long as the prana is there, and yogis know how to keep it. So Shankaracharya, in his commentary, says that Bhagavan Vishnu sustains all life forms by giving them prana. That's translated as vital air. We have in Bhagavad Gita, in this regard, Jivanam Sarvabhuteshu, Krishna says. I am the life of everything that is living. That doesn't mean that we are all Krishna, but it means that our life is inseparable from Him. Mamai Vangsho Jiva Loki, Jiva Bhuta Sanatana. We are known as Jiva. Jiva means we're living. And one name of Krishna is also Jiva. It also comes up in Vishnu Sahasranama. So if we say that Krishna is a Jiva, that's true. Generally, the aparadis, they want to say, oh, Krishna, he's just another Jiva. Well, he is. He's living, right? So he's also a Jiva. But generally, we use the term as Krishna himself, used in Bhagavad Gita, Mamai Vangsho, Jiva Loke. He generally uses that to differentiate himself from all the rest of us, who are known as Jivas. But he is the life of everything that is living. Wherever there is something living, we know that is an angsha of Krishna, inseparable part and parcel of Krishna. His function of sustaining life, we find from Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna says, Gama visya cha bhutani dharyami aham ojasa pushnami choshati sarva somo bhutva bhutva rasatmakaha. Krishna says that entering the earth, I support all the living beings by my ojas, by my energy. There are similar words, ojas, tejas, there are subtle distinctions. And I make all the herbs and vegetables juicy by my action as the moon. Even before we had all this scientific analysis, anyone who used to do any gardening or farming, they know the action of the moon on the plants. And it used to be, before people became very scientific, they had another kind of science, that you put the seeds in the ground. It has to be on a certain day according to the moon, like this. They used to know. Krishna gives life. The doctors can give us hope. The doctors give us hope, but if they're really a sane doctor, they should know that they can only be an instrument, but life is not actually in their hands. Srila Prabhupada said he was on the Jaladuta, he had heart attacks. He said, actually, my time was up, because supposed to be on the forehead, in the hand, your lifespan is there. But Krishna extended it for Srila Prabhupada. He said, my time was up, but Krishna extended it. This, again, talking about Jesus. We're having a very Jesus-y kind of talk here. He is known for bringing three people back to life and himself coming back to life. That was among his miracles. But actually at that time there were many miracle workers in that part of the, especially in what's now called Greece. And the Greeks at first, when they heard of Jesus, they weren't very impressed, because they thought, because they say, he's miracles, he brought people to life. Yeah, we have people who do that also. This Raghavendra Swami in South India. Any of you know Raghavendra Swami? If you're from Karnataka especially, you will know. Andhra, you will know. He was actually born in what is now called Tamil Nadu. So he also used to bring people back to life. He was a Vaishnav preacher. He wrote books on his guru's order, giving Vaishnav philosophy. And he's still alive. How long ago was he around? That must have been, that was, how long ago was he there? 400 or 500 years ago, like that. And he's still alive. He didn't die, like Ramanuja, he's also there. He didn't die, he's there. He sat down in Sri Rangam and he's still sitting there. And his nails are growing, so they have to clip the nails time to time. But that Raghavendra Swami, he entered into his samadhi and he said, I'll just stay here and you can come and pray to me. And still people go. One British man, he was making land reforms for the tax system, so that mutt, that place for that mutt where Raghavendra Swami is in samadhi, that was given to Raghavendra Swami by a Muslim ruler. But the British man, Sir Thomas Munro, he wanted to reform the tax system. And the overseers of the mart at that time said, you can't do that. This is given by this for all time. Now, so Thomas Munro, he wasn't convinced. Then Raghavendra Swami came and spoke to him, I guess in English. And only he could see him. And he wrote it down in his book. There's an Englishman. He doesn't believe in all this. He wrote it down in his record that the Raghavendra Swami came, spoke to me. This is when he was in samadhi. He had been there at that time maybe 300-400 years. He came to me and spoke to me, and all right, let it be, as they say. So a great sadhu can do that. They can continue to live. Of course, a Vaishnav dies to live, and living tries to spread the holy name around. But we have the case of Raghavendra Swami, we have the case of Ramanuja, who they continue to be present in this world. If we have faith, they'll communicate with us also. Krishna gives life, Srila Prabhupada used to say. So he gives life. We cannot give life, so we have no right to take life. It's very good logic, isn't it? We cannot give life, therefore we have no right to take life. Now, if we take a materialistic outlook, no, life is just, what is that? It's just some chemicals, that's all. Or the Christian theory is there that only humans have souls. Animals don't have souls. So it's okay to kill animals. But Srila Prabhupada contested this. You see, the animals, they have all the symptoms of life. So why do you say they don't have, they're devoid of a soul? You cannot give life, therefore you have no right to take it. Only Krishna gives life. We can take life. Whole Bhagavad Gita is Krishna convincing Arjuna to kill. Sometimes people ask, well, does Bhagavad Gita condone violence? And the answer is yes. That's exactly what Krishna was telling Arjuna. You should fight. And Arjuna wanted to become a precursor of Mahatma Gandhi, non-violence. But Krishna told him, you should fight. But it doesn't support unnecessary violence. There is a difference. That was meant for Arjuna. Niyatam kuru karma tvam. You should always do your duty. So that's not everyone's duty. It wasn't Kunti's duty. They didn't have female fighters at that time. Although they're trying to rewrite Ramayana with Sita fighting and silly things like this. You know that? Have you seen that? Someone is rewriting the story because women have to have equal rights. Although when in Ukraine the Russians invaded, all the women were sent out of the country. We didn't hear the feminists saying, no, we'll stay and get killed also. We'll also go to the army. At that time they weren't asking for equal rights. Life comes from life, the title of one of Srila Prabhupada's book. So life, Jivan in Hindi, the name of that book. What is that? Jivan ka srot Jivan. Bengali. Jibon ashe jibon teke. Life comes from life. So life means that the life we have comes from Krishna, who's the supreme life. Simple thing to understand. And then you don't have to make all these fantastic scientific theories, which they're unprovable because they're wrong. You can't prove that life is a product of matter because it's not. So just accept there is a supreme life. The scientists can't say what life is. They have this crackpot idea. It must be a product of matter because there's no God. We didn't find God in a test tube. We looked in a microscope. We didn't find him. We went out in space. We didn't find him. So there's no God. We didn't see him. And you can't see him because you're a rascal. He'll show himself to you if you become a devotee. Otherwise, why should he show? I don't believe that the King of England exists. I don't believe. If he shows himself to me, then I'll believe. So the King of England, oh, someone in Kuwait doesn't believe in me. I better get on a plane and fly out there immediately and bow down at his feet. But you see, even when Krishna was personally present, Duryodhana wouldn't accept him as the Supreme Lord. So many, Shishupal wouldn't accept. So even if we have that demoniac attitude, then even if they say, show me God, and even if God comes, I don't believe you're God. We can see through the eye of Shastra, but even logically speaking, the power of intelligence given to us by Krishna, our ability to do anything in this world, to live in this world, is given to us. It's given to us and it's taken away from us. He gives life, he takes life. Everything we do, we talk, we see, we plan different things, we do different things. Jivanam sarvabhuteshu balang balavatang chaham. It's Krishna. It's not my power. I don't have any power. It's all coming from Krishna. He gives us to it. He gives us some to us. And we're supposed to use it properly in his service for accepting him and not denying him. We can also use the intelligence he's given us to deny him, but that is a misuse. I don't believe in God. I didn't see God. You say God is everywhere. Can you show him to me? Yes, we can show him. But you have to take the process. There are electrons everywhere. Can you show me? Can you show me? Well, I can train you so you can understand. Exactly seeing with your eyes you won't see, however powerful a microscope you have. But by training you can understand. And then there's scientific theory, and then there are scientific experiments which demonstrate the existence of electrons. But if you see the experiment without the training, it doesn't mean anything to you. You have to be trained to understand what the experiment signifies. So in the same way, you can see God, but you have to take a little training. And you have to have some faith to start off with. If you start off saying, well, I don't believe all this science, they're just talking all mumbo-jumbo, all big long words. Why should I believe it? No one ever saw an electron. It's just belief. You follow the process, but you won't follow unless you have faith and determination. Krishna gives life. So we should see all living beings as part and parcel of Krishna. We should love all living beings, seeing them as part and parcel of Krishna. Bringing back to life, Krishna also brought back to life the son of his guru, who was already dead. The cows and the cowherd boys who were killed by drinking the water of the Yamuna, poisoned by Kaliya, Krishna brought them back to life. Parikshit in the womb was practically killed, but Krishna sustained him life, his life. So this universe is full of life. Eta Brahmanda Bhari Ananta Jiva Gan. How many jivas are there in the universe? Unlimited, unlimited. Full of life. But in another sense, Achaitanyam Idam Vishvam. This whole universe is Achaitanya. In the sense that life means consciousness, but without consciousness of Krishna, it's as if we are walking dead, zombie. We're walking dead. Achaitanya medam vishvam yadi chaitanya ishvaram navidu sarva shastra gyahyapi brahmyanti te janaha. This world is without consciousness. If we don't, Chaitanya, of course, we also means Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So in this lack of this universe lacking Krishna consciousness, if we don't accept Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, or if we don't know about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, this is Prabodhananda Saraswati. Chaitanya Chandramrita says, if we don't know about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, even if we know all the scriptures, we're uselessly, Eta Brahmanda Bhari Ananta Jiva Gan. So, Hyapi Brahmyanti Te Janaha. Even if we know all the scriptures, we're still as if unconscious if we don't recognize Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Pranajivan is an upcoming name. Another upcoming name is Janana, which has a similar meaning, who gives life, who's like the father. Still upcoming in Vishnu Sahasranam. 930 names we've been through, and still more to come. Just a personal anecdote. I first went to Bangladesh in 1979, and we used to cross over the land border from Haridaspur to Benapole, And you just go in a little distance and there's a small town called Jigagacha, which none of you have ever heard before, I presume. So we used to often stop overnight at the house of one devotee there by the name of Jivan Krishna. His name was Jivan Krishna. Devotee means, at that time we didn't have any, there was no presence of ISKCON, nothing in Bangladesh. Now it's developed tremendously. But I remember, because I hadn't heard that name before, and I just remember thinking, what a very nice name, Jivan Krishna. Very beautiful name. Krishna is our life. Or Jivan Krishna can also mean someone whose life is Krishna. We have this Pran Mo Nityananda Pati Mo Gaura Chandra. We have. So who? There's also a name for Nityananda Prabhu, Chaitanya Jivan, whose very life is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Jivan can also mean in the sense that our whole life is absorbed in Krishna. Our whole life is Krishna. There is no meaning to our life without Krishna. So we should all be like that. See, our whole life should be Krishna. Krishna is the life of all that lives, and those who recognize that, for them, Krishna becomes their jivan, their very life. So I'll finish there. Talking on this, Hare Krishna. Any question about this name? Jivan. Jivanam Sarvabhuteshu. See this Vishnu Sahasranam, it's completely intertwined. It's just the names are given, but to understand we have to see Gita, Bhagavatam, Vishnu Purana, so many shastras.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, thank you very much. In the lecture it was mentioned that thoughts bring in sanskaras.
What is that? Sorry, thoughts?
Bring in sanskaras.
Thoughts bring in sanskaras, yes.
So Maharaj, how can we have thoughts of Krishna always?
You tell me. How can we have thoughts of Krishna always? If someone was newly coming to Krishna consciousness and they asked you that question, how would you reply? What would you say?
Krishna says in Gita, man mana bhava mad bhakto, always think about me, so we follow Krishna.
All right, that's one answer. Many times devotees ask questions and I ask them, well, how would you reply if someone asked you? Actually, they know the answer. This is something like the Socratic method. Education, it's an English word derived from the Greek, edukare, which means to bring out. So you already know. You can think, just think about it, and you can yourself give the reply. The whole process of Krishna consciousness, this sadhana bhakti process, given by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu via Rupa Goswami and via all the acharyas, is meant for this, to always think of Krishna and serve Krishna. Then, another question, please speak in the mic. Is that recorded in the mic? Yeah.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, thank you for explaining the meaning of the word Jivana. I think you mentioned the word Jivana meaning giving, sustaining and taking away life at the same time in this world.
Well, taking away life is part of the function of the life giver. Yeah. It's all in a cycle.
Maharaj, is it right to understand that within this context of our discussion, the meaning of life is basically embodiment of the soul within this material world?
Yeah, both things were discussed. That life means the soul, And he's the sustainer of life. Life cannot be destroyed, but he's the sustainer of life inasmuch as he provides the conditions wherein we can continue to live within bodies within this world. So it's in both ways.
Could you also kindly elaborate on the meaning of jivana for living entities in the spiritual world?
Living entities in the spiritual world? Yeah, they're living in Krishna. What more elaboration?
What does that mean, Maharaj?
What does it mean? It means dancing with Krishna, playing with Krishna, singing with Krishna. That's what it means. For further information, go there. Adik jankari ke liye waha jana parega.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, my question is that in the material world, some astrologers tells that you have this dosa, kal sab dosa. Or
yeah, then you go to another astrologer and he tells you something different.
But then they say that you should chant Vishnu Sahasranam. But as a devotee, we are chanting anyway 16 rounds, so it is for us also we should follow this.
Well, the Vishnu Sahasranam is not banned for us. We think we're chanting Hare Krishna, you don't have to do anything else. So don't sing Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Don't sing Jai Radhe Jai Krishna Jai Vrindavan Sri Govinda Gopinath Mata. Is that right? No, we should. By going through Vishnu Sahasranam, we meditate on the various qualities of Krishna. So it's not this. Baladev Vidyabhushan made our Gauriya Vedanta Acharya made this commentary on Vishnu Sahasranam. Yeah. Bhaktivinoda Thakur said there are two jewels within Mahabharata. One is Bhagavad Gita, the other is Vishnu Sahasranam. So it's not that it's banned. We shouldn't think I'm above and beyond Vishnu Sahasranam. At least Baladev Vidyabhushan and Bhaktivinoda Thakur didn't think like that. So if the astrologer tells you to chant Vishnu Sahasranam, no harm there. It's actually stated in the Phala Shruti that it's given so many material benefits you may get, which is one reason why even today, especially in South India, many smarter brahmanas, they chant Vishnu Sahasranam daily for the material benefits. But there's remembrance of Krishna there. Akama sarvakamo va. They're chanting with material desires.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Maharaj, during this class you mentioned, and also we read, that the jiva comes into the take particular type of body, birth, or more complex. But according to our own karmic reactions, we are put into certain conditions. But many times we understand all these things, but any problems comes or difficulties, we tend to blame others. Because of you this happened, because of you I am suffering. This kind of things.
You blame God. Do you?
Not directly blame God, Maharaj. Friends, relatives,
things. I see. You put the blame somewhere else. Then you should become a Vaishnava. And then you'll understand. What's the Vaishnava understanding of this? Verse. You know the verse. Tateinu kampan su samikshamano. Say it.
Namaste.
So what is the translation of this? I hope someone knows it. You don't have to say exactly as it's printed in the book. Yeah, say it in the mic.
Tatte anukampa means...
Oh, you're not supposed to look at it on your phone either.
Tatte anukampa...
These devices make us more stupid. If we can remember, it's better. Yeah, meaning?
Tatte anukampa susamishamano. Brahmaji is praying that I am earnestly waiting for your mercy, O Lord. Bhunjane atmakam vivapang, that I am suffering here due to my past karmas. Rituak vibhurvi dad vidhan namaste, that I am serving you with rit, with my heart, with my tongue, with my body. Jivet yo mukti sadev sabhaev. And the one who is living his life in this way, the liberation waits for him when he leaves this body.
So the essence of this is that one should see, if I'm suffering some bad karma, it's due to what I did, not what anyone else did. And if we take it as Krishna's mercy upon us, that Krishna is sending these difficulties, and if we go on serving Krishna, then we become eligible for going to the spiritual world. But if we want to blame others, anyway it's wrong, because Purusha Sukha Dukhanam Bhoktritve Hetu Ruchyate. We ourselves are the cause of our own happiness and distress. If we accept that, and see everything as Krishna's mercy, then we become, and go on serving Krishna, then we become eligible for going to the spiritual world. So they're blaming others. There is some scope for that, because sometimes others do wrong things. Well, especially those who have taken the role of a protector and a guide, just like parents. They may blame the child. You see, you went out without locking the door and the thief came in. That's a pretty extreme example. Or you didn't study and that's why you didn't get good grades. So they may blame. But they may blame for the sake of training and for the benefit, please don't, of their child. But otherwise, that tendency is there. I'm always right, and if anything goes wrong, it's not my fault. I mean, I couldn't possibly do anything wrong. It must be someone else's fault. Everyone thinks like that. That's materialistic thinking. So we should become Vaishnavas.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Maharaj, we were hearing how Lord Krishna killed the crocodile and he was reinstated as a Gandharva. Also, we understand that whenever Krishna kills personally, they get liberated. So how to understand, Maharaj? Is it like Krishna's...
How to understand? The Shastra says, that's all. I don't think there's any mathematical formula by which you can understand. Shastra says, he's Mukti Data, Mukunda. The disease of the scientifically minded is that they want to understand everything logically. But the beginning of spiritual understanding is to understand that we can't understand everything logically. Achinta kalu ye bhava natangs torkena yoji yat prakritebhyo parangyachcha tad achintyasya lakshanam. The very meaning of that which is inconceivable is that we can't conceive of it, therefore we should not try to bring everything within the jurisdiction of our mental processes, understanding how small we are. There's so much we're not going to understand. So that we have to learn from Shastra. God means he's achintya. That's the beginning of understanding the nature of God, is to understand that we can't understand Him fully, only to a very limited extent. Otherwise, what's the meaning to God? If we could understand everything about Him, it's not difficult to understand He can give liberation to anyone He likes. He can do anything He likes. It's not difficult to understand. Exactly how it works, that Krishna knows. You don't have to worry. Let's see. He does it. Then why do we worry? When you put the switch, the light comes on. Do you worry? Exactly how the power is generated and the very complex process from finding the oil, extracting the oil, processing the oil, burning the oil to make power and to convert it into electric power, and then sending it through wires and then making electric light. It's an extremely complex process requiring the brains and the efforts of maybe thousands of people just to put that light on. You don't bother. And maybe it would be hard to understand all the processes. Someone is just in one area. He's an oil engineer engaged in extraction, but even to extract the oil, there are so many things. You have to build a plant, you have to have safety rules in force, and so many things. You don't bother. Just put the light, it's on. So Krishna gives liberation. Jai. Jai Mukunda. That's all.
Hare Krishna. Dandavat Pranam Maharaj. Is one Mataji, one is connected with the YouTube. She wants one question.
Oh, this is live on YouTube now?
Yeah. After we start practicing Krishna consciousness in this life, does our past bad karmas still affect us? Will Krishna protect us, or do we have to go through the reaction of past karmas?
Do our past karmas affect us even after we take to Krishna consciousness? In Nectar Devotion Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, it's said that one who claps his hand three times in arati, all the reactions go away, just like if you clap your hands, all the birds in a tree fly away. But there is what we can call some semblance, because if all our prarabdha karmas were to just finish completely in every respect, then we'd die. Because the body is the vehicle for, or the medium by which we experience past karmas, but it's changed. For devotees, the effect will be there, but it changes because daivi, mahatmanas tumang partha, daiving prakriti mashrita. We come under Krishna's protection. So it changes. So if we have some bad thing coming, one thing is it may be lessened, and another thing is we receive the karmas in such a way that it becomes the impetus for us to be more advanced in Krishna consciousness. It's not a punishment anymore. But a devotee sees, just like we were discussing that verse, Tatenu Kampa, sees that it is my karma. I deserve this. I deserve more because of my sinful activities. But in another sense, he knows that it's Krishna is sending this so that we can make more advancement and become more committed to Him. Shall we finish there now? You all have your karma tomorrow, right? It's another meaning of karma. Work.
Thank you, Maharaj. Thank you so much. So altogether, I'd like to extend our gratitude to Maharaj for a very, very enlightening topic. And we had such a nice session of question and answer session. So altogether, I'd like to extend our gratitude by taking the shelter of the holy name one time. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. I'd also like to extend our gratitude to Sanatan Prabhuji and Krishna Mataji for arranging the entire program, opening the house for everyone. So thank you, Prabhuji.
I have a suggestion. I see the young girls are coming in the traditional dress, but the boys aren't. The boys can also be dressed in traditional dress. How about that?
It's very wonderful, Maharaj. So we'll follow Maharaj, definitely. We'll follow the instruction. So the parents are requested, tomorrow onwards, in the class they should be in the traditional dress.
Kurta. Well, they have to, I don't know if they can get a dhoti overnight, but they can.
We get Maharaj. Kurta.
You can get?
Yes, I will, Maharaj.
They maybe have it in the home, but they only put it on Janmashtami. Only use it on Janmashtami.
So let's have tomorrow, Prabhu, right?
I was just, what was that? Which day was that? Was that Sunday? Sunday in New Jersey. We were in the Macy's supermarket and there was a Gujarati woman with, her name was there, Gopi. She said, my name is Gopi. She was working in the shop. I said, aapka naam Gopi hai, lekin kaam nahi hai. Gopi ka kaam nahi hai. She said, yes, yes, I am also doing bhakti. I said, yeah. Kya? Ghar mein gai hai kya? Not allowed in New Jersey. Well, not in a city in New Jersey. That's for sure. So, we can be devotee by dress. Some people say it doesn't matter what the dress is. You can be Krishna conscious in any clothes, but then Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, Gaura Bhakata Priyavesha Dadhana. We like to dress in the way that the devotees of Lord Chaitanya appreciate. So that's there also. Hare Krishna.